Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to our show today. This is going to be a lively interview with acupuncturist Brenda Lowe. She and a few friends founded Seattle Acupuncturists for Veterans, a free clinic serving veterans and active duty military with a very specific kind of acupuncture, which you'll learn about a little later. Her group is a grant recipient of Bread for the Journey of Seattle. You know, at Bread for the Journey, we're a nonprofit organization that has chapters in 26 cities around the country, and they give micro grants to people like Brenda, who are doing a whole range of things that make a community vital or healthy or beautiful. And we decided, we're 25 years old, and we decided to start a radio show for two reasons. We wanted to get the word out about our work. We'd always been a little bit under the radar screen, not really much for publicity or even focused so much on growth. We just wanted to quietly go about doing the work that we do, raising a little bit of money in our communities and giving it away to people who are doing cool things for the community. But it was time for us actually to begin to get the word out about what we're doing. And what, you know, there's lots of ways to do that. And the reason we went with the radio show was that we get to meet some of the finest people in the world in this line of work. And we thought that a radio show would give us an opportunity to share them with you. Our news cycle in this country and probably in many others, tends to focus on the parts of our world that don't work. And I know that having been in this work for 15 years myself and seeing and meeting so many people around the world who are doing things that really make the world work, very opposite, the exact opposite of the kind of stories we hear on the evening news. And I'm not saying we don't need to hear those stories on the evening news. We just don't get anywhere near balanced airtime. So, but working in this field, it really feels balanced to me. So sharing these people with you was our impetus, and you'll get to meet Brenda in a few minutes. But first I want to read you a poem as a way to convey the heart of the spirit of the work we do. And when I say we, I mean Bread for the Journey, as well as all the people we give grants to. Naomi Shihab Nye is the poet, and she sort of captured it perfectly, the kind of world we're all wanting, and actually in many ways have, in this poem titled Shared Words, Shared Worlds. After learning my flight was detained 4 hours, I heard the announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate 4A was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. Help, said the flight person. Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be 4 hours late, and she did this. I put my arm around her and spoke to her haltingly. The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought our flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for some major medical treatment the following day. I said, "No, no, we're fine. You'll get there. Just late." "Who's picking you up? Let's call him and tell him." We called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and would ride next to her, Southwest. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic. Found out, of course, they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took up about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the traveler from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered in the same powdered sugar and smiling. There are no better cookies. And then the airline broke out the free beverages from huge coolers, non-alcoholic, and two little girls for our flight, one African-American, one Mexican-American, ran around serving us all apple juice and lemonade, and they were covered in powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend. By now we were holding hands. Had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing, with green furry leaves. Such an old country traveling tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in this gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, has seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. So when I heard that poem for the first time, I wept. I just, Naomi Shihab Nye is one of the, we're connected somehow in some deep way. She has another poem called Kindness, which a portion of it I actually have in my own bio. It was such an important poem to me. So I wanted to share it with you. This is the world we're, this is why we do the work we do. The folks here at Bread for the Journey and Brenda and the people that she does the work with at Acupuncture for Veterans. So I'd like to introduce Brenda at this time. Brenda Lowe is her name. She has a private family practice in Seattle specializing in Japanese-style palpation-based acupuncture. She serves as adjunct faculty at Bastyr Center for Natural Health and Wu Sing Tao Medical School in Seattle, as well as Pacific Rim College in Victoria, B.C. Committed to community service, she taught meditation to homeless youth for years. And as you already know, she is one of the founders of Seattle Acupuncture for Veterans Clinic. Her publication, Layperson's Guide to Japanese Pediatric Acupuncture, will be published soon. Brenda, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for reading that poem. I love Naomi Shihab Nye, and that's just beautiful that you started with that. Thank you.
You're welcome. It sets the tone beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's yeah. All about connection. We're all the same. We all have the same beating red heart.
We do. So you have a deep background in acupuncture. What drew you to acupuncture in the first place?
Well, I'll give you the cliff notes to this. I used to do martial arts, and you can't do martial arts without being exposed to East Asian medical theory. And then, make a long story short, I was an alternative energy planner because I had been an anti-nuclear activist, and I wanted to do something positive to counter the growing threat of nuclear power. And my joke is that I'm still an alternative energy planner on a different scale. But I had taken a class on adult careers in transition, because with the election of Ronald Reagan, all funding for alternative energy dried up. And out of that, they determined that I would make a good rabbi or detective. And I think they hit the nail on the head, because being an acupuncturist, you have to be a spiritual counselor, and you certainly are a detective.
That's great. That's a beautiful two combinations. I like that a lot. What prompted you to start this free clinic? I know you've got a private practice. You do a lot of teaching. You're a very busy person. And on top of that, you, with along with some friends, created a free clinic. What's that all about?
You know, Mariana, I think that we see all of the troubles of the world around us, and
we do.
You can fall into despair, or you can try to figure out, how can I contribute? How can I create peace? What can I do in my limited part of the universe? And many of us were so distressed. We had 45,000 people on the streets in Seattle before we invaded Iraq, thinking that our demonstrating in public rallies was enough to stop this crazy headlong lurch into, you know, increasing militarism worldwide, and it didn't stop. And so we started, learning about the invasion, and then understanding very quickly how many people who want to serve the country and have true hearts and are true warriors are basically being used as cannon fodder, and or if you don't want to look at it that way, regardless of your political orientation, are coming back wounded warriors on a physical level or a psycho-spiritual emotional level. And what could we do? And all I can offer the world are my East Asian medical healing skills. So we started looking at trying to form a clinic. And at that time, in 2003, before we invaded Iraq, I met this amazing man who I still adore. He passed a couple of years ago, but his name was O'Kelly McCluskey, and he was a fifth-generation West Point graduate and World War II veteran of Irish and Native Penobscot ancestry. And I heard him speak at this rally before we invaded Iraq, and it just touched my heart. And in my training in the Red Road, I just went up to him and shook his hand and thanked him for his words. And then years later, we met again at a local, we have this wonderful thing in our community called the Night at the Meaningful Movies. And people come watch movies together, and then we have discussions. And I met O'Kelly there as well. And again, he spoke with such eloquence and such a clear warrior heart that again, I went up and shook his hand. And this time we went out to have a beer after the movie, and he became my very best friend. And he came for acupuncture, and he heard about our project and was our strongest supporter. And we have named our clinic after him, the O'Kelly McCluskey Seattle Military Stress Reduction Project.
Great name.
And he wanted us to do this because he knew that there were a lot of veterans who were not willing to go to the VA hospitals for help. They don't want it on their record that they have anything related to PTSD, and they didn't feel that they were getting the kind of care that they needed. So O'Kelly was truly an activist. He started the first chapter of Veterans for Peace, Chapter 92, in Washington State. And he helped us start this clinic. So I can't begin this interview without giving homage to this very dear man.
So tell us, obviously he understood in doing acupuncture with you what some of the benefits were, enough so that he encouraged this whole clinic to open. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the benefits that you see in this population that you're working with?
Yeah, I want to make it clear that, you know, I and my fellow acupuncturists, we do a full body complete acupuncture treatments in our private clinic. But here at the Seattle Acupuncture for Veterans Clinic, which is held at Solid Ground, and I want to give, you know, real great gratitude to an amazing organization that houses us. But what we do here, and it's free, is only what's called the five-needle protocol in the ear. And this is something that was developed by, most people give credit to Dr. Michael Smith from Bronx, who developed a protocol to help addicts, heroin and methadone addicts. But since then, even the military has been using some form of ear acupuncture on the battlefield to help military service people. So we, in order to make this a clinic that we can offer free of charge and an easy format, people come in fully clothed, sit in a chair in a room together, and we only do this simple protocol in the ear. And people can just stay there quietly for as long as they want, from 20 minutes to an hour. And what we find, what they report.
I'm going to stop you for 1 second because we have to take a break. And I know getting into the answer to the question that I had, what kind of benefits are you seeing in this population? And I know that can be a longer conversation. So to our listening audience, please stay with us. When we come back with Brenda Lowe, we're going to talk about the benefits of this particular type of acupuncture that she's seeing, the benefits that she's seeing in this population. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Michelle Kors 6 Degrees is your connected consciousness. 6 Degrees is what comes around, goes around radio. Committed to delivering a fresh perspective on thought-provoking, investigative information that can change your life. 6 Degrees connects you to the social and emotional scene and is your trusted advisor from finance to romance, mainstream to metaphysical. It's a positive, upbeat look at life, love, and the pursuit of passion. Get connected Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Many people are seeking to make a difference in the world, but few actually have the tools to do so. Every week, host Mary Beth Lodge and her guests will have you thinking forward and will give you the tips to keep your life, goals, priorities, and choices on track. The result is an easier, happier, and more inspired life. The name of the program is What Matters. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. What really matters is the positive changes that you'll bring to your life and the world just by listening.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. Heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Thank you.
are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking with acupuncturist Brenda Lowe, who is one of a group of people who created Seattle Acupuncture for Veterans, a free clinic that's offering a particular kind of acupuncture for people in this clinic. So you just described a little bit about the needle, you know, the ear protocol. I think you call it the 5-needle ear protocol, something like that.
Correct.
And I had asked you about what the benefits are that you're actually seeing with the clients coming in to see you. Do you call them patients or clients?
Oh, we call them people coming for treatment. Okay. I don't like the word clients.
Yeah, I understand. Like, what word do you use? People coming for treatment. Okay, so what do you see in these people coming for treatment, Brenda?
Probably the main thing we see is a tremendous calming effect. People report less anxiety, less irritability, less, if they have had a problem with flashbacks, less PTSD flashbacks. They just feel calmer. They sleep better, fewer bad dreams, less pain, and more better mental clarity, better memory, that type of thing.
You said a lot of things.
Yeah. Something that simple can have such a profound effect.
Right, right, right. And you're treating veterans of past wars, not just veterans from the most recent wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And we also treat family members and also providers who help this population. So it's a very broad population that we are serving. But our main focus is on active military and veterans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, it makes me think of past veterans. I often think of how hard it is sometimes to walk in the streets of San Francisco. That's where it happens most of the time. And I see homeless veterans on the street. Have you had any homeless people come into the clinic?
Yes, we do. We do. And originally, when we started out, there was a group that wanted to focus on that population. But we have maintained a very broad focus. We treat everybody, including homeless veterans. And you are right to point that out. People, I think the listening audience may not be aware that the majority of homeless are veterans.
Yeah,
and it is, I think, a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy that this country has permitted that to happen.
Right.
It's terrible.
We once gave a grant to a saint, I'd say, in San Francisco, who was doing free massage in the Tenderloin District. And, you know, in an intimate conversation with me, she talked about how important it was to consistently go there week after week, and to, when she began working with some of these homeless people, and some, you know, she didn't speak specifically about or exclusively about veterans, but I'm sure just from the statistic you just gave us, many of them are veterans. But what she talked about was this very slow process of getting permission actually to touch them, that it really took her being there week after week and taking very small steps each time, always getting permission and slowly building a kind of trust between them before she could really do any kind of major isn't the right word, but the kind of massage you and I might get if we went into a massage clinic and paid for a massage.
Right.
So I'm guessing that there's some of that you see as well, a kind of trepidation? And I know you're not doing, I mean, you're doing the ear protocol with the needles. It's a little different than touching the whole body. But is that something that you see in the clinic?
I think our situation is a little bit different in that, well, certainly you have to build trust. And we have been there week after week after week, regardless of how few come, just to show that we are committed to this. And if you help one person, that's great because you're helping someone. But mm-hmm. Some veterans don't come because, I know this sounds ironic, but they're afraid of the needles. And it's true. And some people don't yet know they need to be educated on the benefits of doing this kind of protocol. Some active duty military don't, there's a stigma associated with seeking any kind of help. You've got to tough it out. You're a warrior. And particularly if there's any hint of admitting to PTSD, you know, there are a lot that keeps people away. And we need to break that down and realize that everybody is to a certain extent wounded in some fashion, and we're here to help each other. And we need to get rid of that stigma. And but I agree with you that trust does need to be established. And thank you for this opportunity to reach out and get the word out about our clinic. And we're not the only one. There are clinics like this around the country. I don't want to give your listening audience the sense that we're the only one out there. We're actually a member clinic of Acupuncturists Without Borders, and they are a nationwide organization, and there are many community clinics, and we hope that many more come out of this. And we have some students working with us, one in particular right now who's just an incredible young woman who is a vet herself. And her intention when she graduates is to open a clinic like this outside the gates of the base that she served on in California.
Oh, interesting. I read somewhere that they're doing acupuncture at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Do you know anything about their protocol?
Yeah, no, that's correct. They're using primarily ear points, a different set of ear points, but ear and body points. This is a major breakthrough for the military medical establishment to show that that acupuncture, which has been around for thousands of years, actually does provide benefit. So it is currently being provided, as you said, at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and they're actually using it on the battlefield to relieve pain. And we anticipate seeing many more, you know, much more research being done. We have a colleague down at Madigan, Fort Lewis Base, McCord Base, that is both a registered nurse and an acupuncturist, and he's many other degrees to his title, who's working with vets using acupuncture for stress reduction and health.
Mm-hmm.
Health maintenance, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Beautiful. I see, you know, why you might want to provide services to the whole family, because, you know, a person is one breathing part of a whole system when they are married and have children and have a whole family. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works? I mean, how you're actually, maybe even a story of a family that might be coming to the clinic and
why. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the long-term impact of war takes a tremendous toll for decades. And people need, as you just said, it's a systems impact. We've mm-hmm. already talked about the fact that a significant percentage of homeless people are veterans. We can't close our eyes to the ramifications of our actions, collective actions. And so, yes, on an individual family basis, someone comes back from an intense war experience. Our founder, O'Kelly McCluskey, when he came out of World War II, he started drinking. He became an alcoholic, and it had a devastating impact on his family, and he ended up leaving his family and really bottomed out. And he said it wasn't until he had grandchildren that a light bulb went on and he realized he had to dedicate his life to peace, and he did in a big way. And he turned his life around, and at the end of his life, he was actually back living with his ex-wife. They didn't remarry, but he was, brought back into the family. And those wounds don't disappear, but we can work with them, and people need to, we mirror back to each other. What I love about Bread for the Journey is that you mirror back to each other the light inside of you, even if you think you're caught in the darkness. That,
right.
That light never disappears.
Right.
And we're just trying to do our part to help reflect that and remind people of who they really are, and so you can come back to wholeness. Because you're like a flower, turning to the light. You want to return to the light, and that's what we're all here to remind each other of.
Yeah. When we say to somebody who has never even thought that they could create the project that they're about to create that's of service to humanity, they tiptoe into this whole territory and they don't know anything about nonprofits. They just know they want to, they feel this calling. To be able to look them in the eye and say, yes, I believe in you. Let's go. What can we do together?
Yes.
My God, it's just remarkable that what that reflection is. I see you. I see you. I see that beauty in you.
Yes.
And I want to encourage its growth. It really is. You hit on the heart.
Yeah, we're all connected to remember that.
We certainly are. So have you, in working with whole families, have you ever had children come into the clinic?
We have somebody who comes every week, and she does bring her two very young daughters, and we don't do the treatment on the daughters, who are really quite young, she is one of our most loyal people who comes every week, because she finds it makes her a better mother. She's has far less stress, and they've been traumatized. I can't go into their personal story in great detail, but the children have experienced trauma. And I've seen a change, dramatic change in the mother, who, by the way, applied to and has been accepted to Bastyr University. She'll be starting an acupuncture program in the fall because she's really appreciated the help just this five needle protocol has provided to her.
Amazing! What a great testament to your work.
Yeah, and last week we had, or the week before last, we had a mother and a daughter, a mother and son. He was 16, so I think that has been the youngest person we've treated in our clinic so far, yeah.
So, I love stories of determination and perseverance, and I know that you faced some obstacles when you were trying to open the clinic. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Oh, yeah. A dear colleague of mine, Jordan Van Vost, who went on to start Communichi, which is a low-cost, it's not a free, but it's a low-cost community acupuncture clinic on Beacon Hill. He and I both at the same time had the idea to do this, and there were several other people. I can't name everybody's name, but I just want to make it clear, this isn't about me. This is a group effort. And we started meeting regularly and went through Acupuncturists Without Borders training and started looking for a place, and we found several churches that we were part of their mission, to provide help to military and homeless. But at the last minute, we kept losing these places that looked like a go, and it was either liability insurance or something happened where, people started losing heart. We thought it just was not meant to be. And then I had a client who knew someone who worked at Solid Ground. I want to give kudos to this man, Paul Haas, who worked at Solid Ground for over 25 years. And he just embraced our project, and within a month, we had a place. Solid Ground is an amazing organization in Seattle that provides all kinds of programs to end poverty, undo racism, and many programs. They house the food bank and transportation, low-income transportation services. I can't begin to count all the things that they do. But Paul was our major supporter, and we now have free space once a week at Solid Ground. And without them, we wouldn't be around. And Solid Ground is an amazing organization that deserves great support.
Great, wonderful, beautiful. You know, we have another break that we need to take. So I'm going to take that, and when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about, you in an earlier conversation, we had talked about your relationship with Patch Adams, and maybe we can bring him into this discussion. It might be kind of fun to do that.
Sure.
All right, great. So to our listening audience, please stay with us. We're talking to Brenda Lowe of Seattle Acupuncture for Veterans. Take care. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Adoption changes a family forever, for the adopters as well as the adoptees. There are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show, Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you a single parent trying to create the balance between home life and work life? You may be running a successful business, but how are your relationships with your family and children? If you're one of the thousands of people trying to juggle it all, tune in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris is the portrait of the success story, coming to the U.S. with no language skills, founding and growing several businesses while raising his daughter from age 7 to adulthood as a single dad. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Well, Welcome back, and we're here talking to Brenda Lowe of Seattle Acupuncture for Veterans. And in an earlier conversation with Brenda, she mentioned that she was friends with Patch Adams, and I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about him on the show today. Tell us a little bit about who he is, how you met him, and how he fits into all this work.
Oh, Patch is a wonderful, wonderful man, and he probably has more friends on the planet than anybody I know of, thousands of people. Everybody he meets, every human being he meets becomes his friend. I am honored to have a special friendship. He checks in regularly, and I met him years ago before he was famous, before the Robin Williams film. We invited Patch when I was working at an acupuncture school in Seattle, and we were having a fundraiser, and we invited him, and he was just an amazing man who could quote poetry for hours, and he talked about what is true healing and the idea that you can't separate the health of the individual from the health of the family, the community, the world, and the healthcare system itself. So he had a really radical vision of how to create true healing, a hospital based on care as the core of the medical interaction, not a institutionalized, mechanized system. And he was considered really fringe in his thinking. And now, decades later, he jokes about how, you know, he's the slowest fundraiser in the world trying to raise money for his hospital. But now he's not such lunatic fringe. Now he's being embraced as having been ahead of his time,
right?
In showing us the way to true healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You prior to doing this work in acupuncture taught meditation to homeless youth for years, I understand. Tell us a little bit about that and how that might have contributed to your work, the work that you're doing today in acupuncture.
Well, I want to, again, that's another amazing organization. Neighbor Care, formerly known as 45th Street Clinic, is run by a wonderful woman. You should have her on this show, Charlotte Tucker. I've learned so much from her. What a heart that woman has. And she's the director of the Homeless Youth Clinic. And one of the homeless youth wanted meditation. They already provide yoga and acupuncture at the homeless youth clinic. And so the word went out and I jumped on it because I did a 1-year meditation retreat in 1988, and meditation is very central to my life and my being. And I wanted to share that. And I realized once I started working with the homeless youth population that I am so privileged. I have shelter over my head. I have things that we take for granted, and that I had a broad motivation in my meditation practice. But these kids really have so much stress, physical stress, carrying heavy knapsack around, being exposed to the elements, dangers on the street, abuse, etc., abuse that they came from, abuse that they face day to day, that quickly realized that the focus of the meditation had to be primarily on reducing stress, helping them cope, be more resilient. And it's a little bit like a quantum field idea of particle and wave. When you're really basic survival, you withdraw to this particle idea of living in the world. And what I tried to do through the meditation was help them expand and realize that they're part of the wave, that we mm-hmm. are connected, if that makes any sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So
that was your work. I'm going to be interviewing in a few weeks a homeless youth named Innocente. She came to mind as you were talking about these kids. This is a young girl in San Diego who had been homeless since she was 7 years old. And She was part of, in her teen years, 16, 17 years old, there was a program in San Diego called Arts. It has to do with Art for Survival. It's kind of, I forget the exact name, but they taught art classes as a way of creativity and working with this population. And they could see that she was a really incredible artist. And so they decided to have a show of her work, and every single piece of hers sold that night at the show. And there were some documentary filmmakers who were traveling around the country sort of looking for the next subject that they might want to take on, and they found Inocente, did a film about her life that won an Academy Award this year.
That's great.
Yeah, a very powerful story, which we have coming up sometime in June. I want to make sure that people who are listening to the show are aware of where your clinic is and what they need to do in order to, do they need to call and make an appointment? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. It is a walk-in clinic, no appointment necessary. And we're located in the Wallingford neighborhood. The address is 1501 North 45th Street, and the zip code is 98103. And we're in the Solid Ground building, which also houses branch library and houses the food bank. And we're open except for major holidays when the building is closed. We open at 6:30. And we're open till 8:30 at night, with the last person we ask to come no later than 8 p.m. so that they can get a full treatment. And yeah, no pre-registration is required. Simply walk in. We don't even card people. So if you're there, we assume you need the help, and we're there to serve.
That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful. And as we close the show, you had talked a little bit about O'Kelly's mom and a quote that she had said, something that he quoted of his mother's.
Right.
Maybe
right.
You can tell us a little bit about
that. Thank you. Yeah, O'Kelly's favorite quote, and we have this on our placard in dedication to him, that he quotes from his mom is, "Not failure, but low aim is the bane of man." So it really ties in with Bread for the Journey's idea that you need to share the best of who we are, and that we want to share the best of who we are. And I think I also want to end with my favorite quote from one of my teachers, who most remarkable acupuncturist I've ever met in my life. And he said to remember that all medicine is love. And we're all medicine. Every one of us, everybody listening to this program, every one of us is medicine. And how are you going to bring that out in the world? And to know that love has got to be the center of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, such a beautiful thing. And I can feel, I can feel that that's what you're communicating when you're talking about the clinic, when you're talking about the clients that you see, and even the way, I just want to highlight this, even the way in which you held up all of the organizations that have surround and support the work that you do, from Neighbor Care to Solid Ground to, even just the way that you honored O'Kelly by naming the clinic after him. I'm just so touched by the way in which you are incredibly inclusive.
Mariana, I want to say that I think one of the problems with our culture is that we have this heroic tradition. I have to say it's time to leave that behind and recognize the need for a partnership model. That's the only thing that's going to pull us out of this mess. So thanks for bringing that point up, because I feel it very strongly. Doesn't mean that people's stories shouldn't be told. We need to hear stories. But to keep coming back to that idea of it's all about us all together. It's that net web of connections. It's not about the individual.
Right. Yeah, there is this saying that the next savior that comes won't be one person, it'll be all of us owning
right.
that and stepping up and recognizing how much we actually really need one another.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have great appreciation for Bread for the Journey. You guys were the original crowd funders. You were way ahead of your time. You understood the need for doing it based on people you know and connections, and great gratitude for what you and your organization do. It's fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Start. Without you, we wouldn't have gotten off the ground.
Oh, that's so great to hear. Thank you so much. That is what we like doing. It's what we came here to do, And 99% of the people who are participants in Bread for the Journey are volunteers. They do it because they love doing it. They do it because of what it brings to themselves, what it brings to their community, and how it makes them feel about being part of their community in that way. So I will close with this. Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could use your support if you find a place in your heart, dear listeners, to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. If we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.